There are some conversations you simply shouldn't miss. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
So yesterday I chatted to Simpiwe and I said, well, of course, he delivers the news in a newsroom, which is not exactly next to me. And I said he needs to send a picture. It took him like 24 hours, but he finally did it. So I'm going to tweet it like right now. So check it out on my timeline. Hashtag Afternoon Talk, a picture of our news anchor on the Afternoon Talk show. And that's Simpiwe Ngonwane. And maybe you can do the same with your pictures wherever you are listening in. Hashtag Afternoon Talk. Love to check out what exactly you're doing when you listen to the show. My name is Ashraf Garda. Welcome indeed to the show, the Afternoon Talk show. We do this every weekday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Hashtag Afternoon Talk, you know that already. That's for tweeting if you wish to quote the guest, which is great. So you amplify what's being discussed to a far broader audience, which is fantastic, but also add your own comments as well. And then when you do that, tweet to me, Ashraf Garda, as well as tweet to SFM Radio. You can call in, as usual, of course, 0891 104207 and SMS is 40938, 40938. Now, every Friday, this for the first half an hour, we have a feature called The People's Voice, where we encourage you as part of the public to raise an issue that you think is really important and not being discussed on our platform. Or sometimes we're just aware of it and we believe it's not being discussed. And that's the case today with the goings-on regarding SAHOOK, which is an acronym for the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. Many of you may be aware, of course, that I was away for 6 weeks or 7 weeks off air sometime around August, September, in the middle of last year, of course, when I went for the Hajj to Mecca, Medina, part of the once-in-a-lifetime Muslim pilgrimage. Now, and of course, I had a great time, and many of you covered what I did, and I crossed to SAFM and checked out the podcasts, which are still available on the SAFM radio website itself. Now, that's one part of it, okay? The other is, where does SAHOOK fit in all of this? Because there's been accusations in the last couple of weeks, right, around a range of issues. Around one, you know, SAHOOK's not doing a good job. Two, they have far too much money, something like 9 million rand excess money. The third one is the fact that just the same people appear to be in charge all these years. The issues of who elects them, whether they actually have a mandate to act on our behalf as the South African public. There's also been the latest petition from many people calling for their removal. So we thought, you know what, let's find out exactly who is SAHOOK, what do they do, what are the workings of SAHOOK. Let's call it the who, what, when, where, why of the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. So on the line is Shaheen Asap, who's the first deputy president at the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. Shaheen, appreciate your time. Hi.
Hi, Ashraf. Salaamu alaikum to all the Muslim listeners. Good afternoon to the rest of the listeners on SAFM.
Thank you. And the operative word, maybe peace in all of that, isn't it? Shaheen, let's start with the first one. What is SAHOOK and why does it exist?
SAHOOK is an administrative and regulatory body regarding Hajj in South Africa. It exists because the government of South Africa, back in 1995, together with the government of Saudi Arabia, had made a request to form a body of Muslim organizations that will basically deal with the administration and regulation of Hajj. This is minuted at union buildings. Minutes are available. And, the formation of this particular body has started back then. It's gone through various iterations. It's gone through various structures in terms of its process. We're an unincorporated, constituted body, not for gain. And as a result of that, we do what is necessary, insofar as the administration and regulation of the Hajj industry.
And in doing so, so this body, you mentioned international relations. What used to happen before? You spoke about 95. I think it's a very important date or timeline because many of us will know 27th April 94, this country changed forever. What happened before that?
Absolutely. Prior to the advent of the democracy of South Africa, there was no Saudi Arabian embassy in South Africa. There was no mission here. And pilgrims who wanted to travel to Saudi Arabia had no direct access. They had to travel via Europe or via other parts of the world or otherwise, earlier than that on ship, to get to Jeddah. And visas would be afforded to them at arrival in Jeddah. People obviously used to find that operators or people who were in the know of Hajj used to form groups of structures. And unfortunately, as the days grew, the Ministry of Hajj became quite aware of situations where there were significant irregularities, pilgrims sitting on the street without accommodation and the like. And instead of dealing with, you know, at the time was about 7,000 pilgrims or 5,000 pilgrims, they wanted to deal with one body that basically looks after the interests of the pilgrims on that side.
And would that be consistent with other countries as well? That means one body from a country that effectively overlooks the citizens of that country performing the Hajj.
Absolutely so. I mean, if we just look at our immediate neighbors up in Africa on the West Coast, Nigeria, they've got a, what is known as the Nigerian Hajj Commission, directly as a you know, part of the government structures. Indonesia has a Hajj mission. Malaysia has a Hajj mission. A small country like Singapore, who has less than 1,000 pilgrims, has a Hajj mission. The United Kingdom has a Hajj mission. France has a Hajj mission. Iraq, Iran, etc. So just to give you an example, it is like that right across the board. At the moment, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Ministry of Hajj is busy dealing with all the Hajj missions from around the world, and each of them have a date by which to come and sign an agreement, which are known as the protocols, in order to do the necessary preparations for the ensuing Hajj.
Okay, I'm going to find out what actually does Sahuk do then in terms of the day-to-day running of Sahuk, the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, right after this.
There are some conversations you simply shouldn't miss. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
Shaheen Asop is my guest. He is from the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. SAHUK is the acronym, is the first deputy president there. We're talking about the workings of SAHUK. It's an organization that certainly matters to many of South African citizens who are pilgrims to the holy places of the Hajj, as you know, a journey that I personally followed last year. So, Shaheen, then, in terms of the workings, without getting into too much detail, typically, what then does SAHUK do?
Well, as we said, we administrative and regulatory. So there's a lot of processes that goes into the, you know, the advent of Hajj every year. Firstly, there's the accreditation or the registration and accreditation process. It's a design, you know, system that has basically been, you know, put together so that first-time pilgrims will get into a queue on date and time priority, and they will be eligible for Hajj. We have offices in Cape Town, Durban, and Johannesburg, where we have a tremendous amount of walking applicants or walking pilgrims, would-be pilgrims, who want to know more about Hajj and want to know more about the processes. Secondly, we do an accreditation of Hajj operators. So we go through all the Hajj operators. We basically go through their administrative skills. We go through their knowledge of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We go through their ability to take people under their wing when going across to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, something that you would have experienced last year. Once that is done, we then go through the accreditation process of the pilgrims. Once the pilgrim is accredited, they then select the operator. There's a tremendous amount of administration in the background. For example, seeing to the passports, going into the embassy, making sure that all the administrative work is done on the systems in order for us to facilitate the movement of the pilgrims between south and north and north and south, and then sending a mission, a Hajj mission, to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia together with medical doctors and nurses, together with medicines, to run a clinic, primary health care clinic, in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for the duration of the pilgrims and for the pilgrims' use at no cost.
Okay, so let's confirm this. Sahuk then is actually not a tour operator. So if somebody goes like myself, which I did last year, I would have to book through somebody else. But am I right in saying the operator is in many ways accountable to certain procedures that you put in place, which has actually been advised by the Hajj Ministry, right?
Absolutely so. This protocol or this agreement that we have is the basic foundation document. And based on that foundation document, we implement those rules to the Hajj operator and make sure that that Hajj operator has a code of conduct in which, you know, they must deal with the Hajji. Not only with the Hajji, but the way they should deal with their colleagues or their competitors in the space, the way they should deal with the authorities in the kingdom, and the way that they should be dealing with souls, because we too require quite a bit of information from them in order to ensure that there is smooth flow south to north and north to south.
Okay, so now you are aware, I mean, Sahuk's been around as long as South Africa's democracy, the democratic South Africa, that is, right? But certainly, just about every year, there's murmurings of discontent from the South African public, right? And that's come to the fore once again in the last week or so, right? What is your understanding of the type of concerns that they're raising, and what is Sahuk's response to that?
Well, let's start off first of all by saying that we're always going to find detractors, Ashraf, no matter where you are, no matter what it is. The unfortunate thing is, detractors have come to sit with us, and the same group of people where the murmuring starts being raised over the last few weeks and so forth, were sitting with us in November 2016. They presented a list of questions to us. We responded in writing to that questions and across the table. We invited them to join SAHOK and come and help us if they believed that there were operational issues that we needed to change. We even gave them a copy of our constitution and said, thrash it, and come back to us and tell us what you believe we can do differently. The problem with the public out there and some of the public out there, when we look at, you know, the murmurings are from a group of people, but the vast majority of people out of the 2,500 that go for Hajj come back and give positive feedback insofar as our services are concerned. So one needs to weigh up the pros and the cons, and one needs to understand that you're always going to get negativity. But when we look for negativity, we want constructive criticism associated to that. If there is constructive process associated to that, it certainly makes it better for us to go forward. Why play the man when you can play the process,
okay, so,
and make sure that the process is in place?
Amongst these murmurings, which many may say is far more than murmuring, because it's a bit of an outcry, is that every Haji, this collective group called the Hujjaj, who goes for the pilgrimage, pays a fee of roughly about, say, 1,500 rands or thereabouts, which obviously SAHOK collects. Some parts of it, of course, we're well aware that you used to spend for your operating expenditure. I think it's absolutely logical. Having said that, what surfaced in the last few days is you have and correct the phrasing if I'm wrong, a bank balance of 9 million rands. And the accusation is, if an organization like yours, which is really not for profit, can have a 9 million rand surplus, then that's just far too much. What are they doing with that? And clearly, they're then in a position to actually reduce those charges or drop away that annual charge completely.
Well, let's take it one step at a time. First of all, SAHOK must be run as a going concern. We run it with the proper processes, with the proper constitutionality and the proper structures in place. We do not run it on a day-to-day from hand to mouth. We are also subjected to the, to the equations that every other pilgrim or every other Hajj operator is subjected to, and that's the rand-dollar exchange rate fluctuations. If you look at the costings in terms of what we've done, and we've actually announced these at our previous roadshows, we subsidize the pilgrim because our actual cost last year was 1,450, which the pilgrim paid, but we subsidize the pilgrim because our cost, the actual cost was 1,745 rand. So there is a subsidy that basically goes into that process. There has been some accumulation of surpluses over the years, and that is as a result of ensuring that we have a going concern. The idea is that SAHOK right now is run on a voluntary basis. And going forward, we want to see a more permanent structure in SAHOK. So you can't have a permanent structure if you don't have the funding for it. We don't get funding anywhere else. The only funding that we get is from the pilgrims in terms of the charges that
okay,
we
that, that makes complete that sense. Is, that makes sense to me. And just let me say this, for someone who's been for the Hajj, the idea of dropping a 12 or 1300 rand annual charge, I think, is minuscule, and I would rather pay. I think if that's going to solidify what you do, that makes sense to me. Having said that, right, is 9 million rands not just far too much than what you may even require in the next 5 or 10 years?
Just hang on one sec, Ashraf. I haven't completed what I was saying.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about last year. Last year, the pilgrims were accredited in January, and the same is going to happen this year again. In our financial year 2017, ending March 2017, we basically collected two tranches of accreditation fees in that period. So that revenue, because we're a revenue collecting or a revenue structured account in terms of our audit process, we don't do it on an accrual basis because that would just become an absolute nightmare to manage. Since we are a voluntary organization, we don't have permanent bookkeepers sitting in our office. So we work on a receipt basis, not on an accrual basis. As at the end of March 2017, we needed to record that we received from 2,500 pilgrims 1,430 rand, and that added to the surplus at the end. It's a timing difference because the expenses only occurred after the financial year end, which was basically July, August, and September, when we incurred our expenses in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, in addition to the South African expenses for the three branch offices, etc.
Okay, so in the next financial year, you'll have double the expenses, but you'll actually have less of an income. Is that right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And this is exactly what we put forth. You know what I find amazing? Our financials were basically publicized on our website on the 30th of October last year, following our AGM, following the sign-off of these particular financials. And nobody bothered to inspect or investigate those financials until about 2 weeks ago or about 10 days ago. And then the outcry started. There's nothing that we have to hide. We've always publicized our financials, and we leave the previous year's financials on there until the next financials are in place.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm happy to welcome a couple of calls. We don't have much time. We're going to end at 2:30. So 0891 104207, if you wish to talk about the workings of Sahuk. And let me just stress this, if you do get on air, it's of a general nature as opposed to a specific, you know, my luggage is lost. That type of thing in terms of the workings. If you do that, you can call in 0891 104207. Otherwise, hashtag Afternoon Talk if you're tweeting. And you can SMS to 40938. 40938. We're talking about the workings of the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. My guest, Shaheen Esop.
There are some conversations you simply shouldn't miss. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
Talking about the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, my guest is Shaheen Esop, who's been involved in the organization for a long, long time, certainly one of the leading figures there. And in terms of his current position, there is the first deputy president at the at Sahuk itself. Shaheen, so, okay, you've got the 9 million rands. I understand the accounting anomaly. I think that's fairly easily explained, okay? Yet it appears that there still seems to be so much opposition. Is the opposition coming from individuals or collectives who actually wish to discredit you because they believe that the organization doesn't represent them?
You know, there's a group of individuals that have probably put themselves together as a collective. There's a chat going out on social media and the like. Again, you know, we've stated this, and I think it's very clear people need to understand it. The executive of Sahuk does not own Sahuk. The National General Council of Sahuk does not own Sahuk. We manage it. We are the administrators thereof. And again, if people have an opportunity to inspect or to come and introspect our processes, and they find that there are better ways to do it, we welcome them to come in and join and show us how it is better done. And if we feel that they are better suited to do it, then I'm almost sure that every single one of us will move our seats and allow them to take this thing forward. Because at the end of the day, until now, Ashraf, you know, there's been a lot of noise that have been coming since I joined South back in 2005, 2006. But nobody can come forth with tangibility in terms of policy and process and say, you people are not doing this right. It's always an attack on people, whether it is the predecessors that came before me or whether it was the current board or the board that we currently serve. You know, people that were well-respected in the community, like Dr. Ram Saluji, who was the past president of Sahuk, was personally attacked on, you know, on these processes. And, you know, ulama from the Western Cape, for example, all personally attacked. We don't need personal attacks. At a time when the ummah is diverse and is being desecrated.
What about the fact that perhaps they resorting to the social media platforms and other platforms because they don't believe they have direct access? And this gets me to the issue of representation. How is Sahuk formulated? How do you get to be the first deputy president or, let's say, former president of Sahuk?
Before we get to that, you talk about no access to Sahuk. That is a fallacy because previous detractors and the current detractors were invited to come. They sat across the table with us face to face. So the accessibility to Sahuk has always been there. We've always had an open door policy. One needs to understand that. But let's go on to the number of members. We have 28 National General Council members in Sahuk, as well as some individual members who serve on the regional boards, on the regional councils of the different regions, KZN, Western Cape, and Gauteng. Each of these NGC members, National General Council members, have two representatives who sit on the NGC. And from within that NGC, your board is elected or your executive is elected. And those are the member organizations from the founding members that were participants in Sahuk back in 1995 to now. There are still a tremendous amount of those that are on board that elect the executive in order to run or in order to maintain or manage the day-to-day business of Sahuk. You become a member or you join this organization, and that basically is the structure. So we have, for example, United Ulama Council of South Africa, Jamiatul Ulama KZN, Muslim Judicial Council, Islamic Council South Africa, Jamiatul Ulama Gauteng, Sunni Ulama Council, Sunni Jamiatul Ulama, just to name a few theologian organizations.
Are there any organizations that are not allowed to be representative on this body that elects the Sahuk executive?
Absolutely not. Any organization with a constitution or with a structure in terms of trustees is welcome to attend. Anybody can attend. You can even attend as an individual, Ashraf. If you wanted to attend or if you wanted to participate because you feel that you've got something to contribute, you as an individual don't need to belong to a member organization. You can attend. You may not have voting rights in the national body, but you'll have voting rights within the local body.
There are many issues people have raised. There's just not enough time. We've got about 3 minutes to go. What I will ask you, however, it's not just one or two people. Social media, yes, it has its own currency, but there are many, many people who seem to be disgruntled. There's also been the latest petition calling for the entire Sahuk to be disbanded, specifically people like yourself, Shaheen Asrop. How would you respond to that, keeping in mind that ultimately you want to serve the people? What's the constructive way, besides saying come and join us, to respond to, clearly they see things differently to the way you see things?
You know, Ashraf, one of the frightening factors is that the people who sit around Seoul, A, don't get paid. We all have day jobs. We all have our own work that we do. We do it for the benefit of the pilgrim and the Ummah in South Africa and for the pleasure of the Almighty. People need to understand that there is significant sacrifice that goes into this. There's significant time that goes into this. So when someone calls for the resignation of Shaheen Issa because Shaheen Issa is direct and Shaheen Issa doesn't, curry favor with people or duck and dive or does anything underhand, then, that's their opinion. The problem that we have with social media, unfortunately, is it spreads like wildfire. People believe social media before even coming to ask the source and finding out from the source what the situation is.
Okay, is that another way around it? Which means if social media is used to discredit Sahuk, let's just say that, should Sahuk then not use the same social media and other public platforms to amplify the good work that you do, and I say that in inverted commas, so that people who are uncertain will fully understand what you're doing? What I'm saying, do you not have a communication problem?
Oh, we certainly have been on social media, Ashraf. We have a Facebook page, we have a Twitter account, we have various other social media events that we do. We have an outreach program up here in Gauteng that is being replicated in other regions, where from Polokwane all the way to Azadvo, for example, we've been reaching out to communities, explaining to them the workings of SAUK, explaining to them the processes of SAUK. The problem that you have is there's a group of detractors out there who will try to convince people at all costs that SAUK is doing the wrong thing. No matter how right Sahuk is, until such time as people go to the kingdom and experience the service that is given, from the time that a person applies on the system in South Africa, going through the process and into the kingdom and returning from the kingdom, only then do they appreciate. We are not infallible, Ashraf. I think you realize that and everybody realizes that. The most thing that we can understand is that perfection lies with the Almighty. We're going to strive to the best of our ability to do it. But again, I state this. If someone has a problem with the processes, come and tell us what the processes are that we're doing wrong. Don't turn around there and say Shaheen Issa must go, because that's not the process.
I want to pick up a sense from people that there's a closed door when you do that. But just pause for a moment. Let's get the news headlines. It's 2:30.
There are some conversations you simply shouldn't miss. Afternoon Talk with Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
We're going to wrap up talking about Sahuk in the next 3 minutes with my guest Shaheen Issa, who's the first Deputy President at the South African Hajj and Umrah Council. Shaheen, so what I've heard, and not just on social media, when you sort of walk around and meet people in communities, it's we hear the invitation to say, come and talk to us. But there's also a sense that Sahuk generally doesn't really listen. That means the invitation publicly is made, but in effect, it's a closed shop. How do you respond to that?
I disagree with that in totality, Ashraf, because back in 2006, 2007, I wrote to SAUK, and I actually explained to SAUK that I found problem with some of their processes and their policies, and I gave them some areas where I believe could be improved. At that time, Hajj operators used to get a quota from SAUK, and that quota they used to get allowed the Hajj operator to go and sell his or her package to the highest bidder and also to the repeat pilgrim. Between 1995 and 2005, the number of repeats that went for pilgrimage was between 80 and 95% at the expense of first-time pilgrims. When we introduced the whole process of accrediting the first-time pilgrim and giving them the right to choose the Hajj operator, that was a significant change in the policies and processes of SAUK. So if people say that change is not inevitable, that is certainly there, and that is what we have done.
Okay,
is just one example. That is just one example of a major change in the process around SAUK and how SAUK has evolved.
Okay, what do you feel about the general call? Not not a specific accusation, a general call to say, if Sahuk was formed in 95, there's room now for reform. And I say that on the basis of, you know, even South Africa's own constitution with regard to its electoral processes, there's belief now that it needs to be more sort of ward-based. Okay, so things change. What do you feel about the call that Sahuk itself needs to be reformed?
I don't have a problem with having a reform or a ward-based structure in terms of people wanting that. My question, and I said this to people across the table from us as well, I said, come and put a process on the table that is going to give me comfort in how that is going to be meted out. Because at the end of the day, Ashraf, we look at one section, and I'm going to elucidate on this. We look at Lanesha. Lanesha's probably got between 35 and 50 masjids, okay, in the different extensions that they have there. Who is going to be elected as the representatives for Lanesha? Because you can't have 50 representatives from Lanesha. You need perhaps maybe two or three representatives from Lanesha that is going to represent Lanesha at large. How are you going to put that into place or that into process that is going to allow for those three representatives, when sometimes you find that our Muslim communities within a larger community don't want to speak to each other on the basis of their own differences.
Okay, but in principle, would you look at the concept of electoral reform? So maybe a, you know, ward-based system over a wider body as opposed to being part of an NGO like the MJC, for example.
One has absolutely no problem with looking at that. Again, one needs to make sure, Ashraf, that the tangibility doesn't disrupt the process. Remember, when we look at all these things, we must make sure that we don't disrupt the process in terms of ensuring that the administration and regulation for Hajj goes on. Because we cannot disrupt that, because it becomes a fracas and it becomes a bit of a problem to make sure that we're falling over each other's feet to get people to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That is the pinnacle of you know, the intended process that we have.
All right. Lastly, in terms of where you are, there's a new list of people who are going to perform the Hajj being released, I think, on the 15th. So it's imminent, right? And let's hope that all goes well. Having said that, right, do you feel that there's a need for a public meeting or mediation of some sorts with the many, many South Africans who are disgruntled with Sahuk and perhaps wants to throw in, not in a closed meeting, but in an open discussion about the way forward?
I have absolutely no problem with an open meeting in that regard. And we have an open meeting every year when we have our roadshow and we invite the public to come and participate at the roadshow. They can ask whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. We've had accusations. In fact, a few years ago when Hajj Watch was still in its, which is a watchdog organization, when they were still in their full flurry, they were protesting at one of our Cape Town roadshows. It was so hot, we invited them into the, to the auditorium and said, do your protest in the auditorium if you feel that's going to be, you know, sufficient for you. We invited them on board. They came to present to us. So at the end of the day, Ashraf, in my tenure as the president, in my tenure as the SG, now that I am the first deputy president, we always advise and we invite people to come forward. Mm-hmm. Bring constructive criticism, because remember, anybody can criticize. You can be an armchair critic sitting in your lounge talking about a Man United Liverpool game, but it's not going to change the event.
Okay, would you?
The event gets changed on the playing field.
Finally, is there anything, however, that you'd like to apologize for?
I would like to apologize to people who have got a misconception in terms of what Sahuk is. You know, we go to social events, we sit at a funeral, we sit at a wedding, or we sit at gatherings, and people have a misconception about what Sahuk is and what Sahuk does. I think people have a skewed opinion of me because of my directness and my straightforwardness. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to process. And none of my executive have that as well.
Okay.
None of the executive, none of the NGC. We're all a transparent organization doing it for the benefit of the program, for the pleasure of the Almighty.
Maybe have that meeting, and not just as a talk show, but as a South African and someone who's been on Hajj, I may well attend as well. Shaheen Asub, thanks you. Thank you so much for your time. By the way, from a Sahuk point of view, feel free to tweet or Facebook further in points about what you've just said. And if you share it to us, we will certainly amplify it as well. Shaheen, thanks for your time. Shaheen Asub, the first deputy president at the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, Sahuk. There were many nitty-gritty issues that we can't really get into. I think the idea was just to find the broad-based structures of just how Sahuk works. Okay, open for possible mediation in terms of open meeting, something you may want to consider. Let's talk about other NGOs in the NGO forum right after this.